this is Mark, and you are listening to Walnut Grove Cast. Today, I have a very special guest. Arlie Ingalls is part of the famous family of Laura Ingalls Wilder. Lee describes himself as more of a storyteller rather than an author. Please welcome to the show, Arlie Ingalls. How are you doing, Lee?
I'm good. Thank you. And thank you for having me. It's my pleasure to be here.
Yeah, it's a real honor to have somebody not only who is a part of the family tree of Laura Ingalls Wilder, but also somebody who is tapping into the literary blood that runs through your veins.
Yeah.
You know, I got your book and I was going through it, and it's really interesting. At first glance, I think what I took away from it was trying to recreate the same, I guess, capturing of stories and family that Laura Ingalls Wilder had done, but setting it in the next generation. And it really goes into a lot of things. You do walk away with this book thinking maybe, you know, I could have had a conversation with Gene about his hearse and talking about the fact that you have, you come from a family of 8 children, you know, it's a large family. There's a lot of talk of struggle. There's a lot of timely things. Like you'll mention in the 70s, how in the 1 year the Beatles broke up and all of this other stuff was going on. And what was behind you was all the, you know, peace, love of like Woodstock generation. It's really an interesting take on the whole thing. Was this a story that you came up with very long ago? Is this something you grew up wanting to do?
I think I kind of grew up wanting to do it, or thinking at some point in time that I would. The way that it actually the seed was planted was when I was in grade school. Mm-hmm. On the play yard, one of the kids came up to me and asked me if I was part of the same Ingalls family that was in The Little House on the Prairie book. And at that point, I did not know. So I went back and asked my mother, and she said, yes, in fact, you are. So, I mean, that kind of planted the seed that maybe one day I, too, would write a book.
There's nothing than having, you know, a successful author in your family and having that to really try to do, you know, to accomplish.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that kind of provided the foundation. And then I think one of the things that Laura did that I tried to follow along with was capture some of the recent events of the time and how it impacted a regular family, just a normal family living their life in America at the time that is represented in her books and then in my book as well.
Yeah, when I was first going through it, I thought, oh, is this just going to be like a big family tree? And you certainly do touch upon your family, but it really adventures, it, you know, it kind of goes away from that pretty quickly, and it goes into stories of life. And I think that's a really sweet story. You do have a focus on your parents. In the very beginning, you even mentioned how you didn't know where to focus your energy, really. I'm taking your words completely out of context, but and completely not quoting you correctly, but you wanted to focus on the love between your parents, Gene and Fern, and how that continued until they passed away.
Yeah, exactly. That was the one constant in their life, was their love for each other. And even though they hit a couple of rough patches, it didn't pull them apart. It only made them stronger. Mm-hmm. I initially started writing the book. I thought, okay, that's a constant. Let's make the book or build a book around that. But then as I was writing it, trying to force it into that didn't feel natural. So I finally gave up on that and then let the story come together organically. Hmm. And then make that the story. And hopefully in the end, you'd realize, that they did have a great love for each other, which they did.
Could you talk about precisely how you are related to Laura Ingalls Wilder? Because it's through a cousin. Is that correct?
Yeah. So I tried to establish that early on in the book, what the relationship between her and I actually was. So Charles, her father, had 5 girls, Laura being one of them. The only girl that had their own children was Laura, and her daughter was Rose. Mm-hmm. Well, Rose had one child that died in infancy, and then wasn't able to have any more children because of an operation that she had. So there are no direct descendants of Charles past his children, and that one grandchild. So the closest you're going to get to a relative of her is through one of her cousins. And my ancestor was her cousin.
And that would be, of course, on Charles' side, of course, right?
Yeah. So Charles had a brother named Lansford James, and that's who I'm a descendant of.
Oh, I mean, it's a fascinating thing that you can even bring your family back to that period of time and still trace it. It's weird. It feels sometimes, you know, the 19th century feels so much further away than it actually is. I think it's so easy to kind of lose track. But how far back does your name go? Did you keep tracing? Like, did this turn into a rabbit hole where you're like, all right, well, let's see how far back we can get the Ingalls name?
No, you know, I say it's because it's the Ingalls, and that in part is true. I traced it all the way back to the mid-1600s. Mm. Gentlemen that moved from England they actually moved to Canada initially, but moved into the United States right before the Revolutionary War.
So you're not telling me you're a bunch of Canadians, are you? No, I'm just kidding. No, I love Canada. We have Canadian listeners. And I'm just joking around. I'm always ribbing Canada. I don't know. They're probably laughing at us right now, though. But, yeah, so, I mean, the Ingalls, it's almost as though part of your bloodline is to move. You got, you know, you're just always on the move. Your family also made similar moves than the Laura Ingalls Wilder clan in Minnesota and Wisconsin. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah, it's certainly in our nature to move around a bit. And even I did as an adult.
You escaped, and now you're down in Tejas, in Texas.
Yes.
Right. It's like, you know what? I don't think these winters are really working out for me.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, I think it's great that you jumped on this project. How long did you spend on the research and then the book itself?
Yeah, so I started jotting down story reminders probably 20 years ago and kept it up periodically over that 20 years. Initially, the book was supposed to be my story. Mm-hmm. You know, once you get to my age and you look back over your life, you realize you lived through some incredible times and it's worth telling. But then as I started to write it, I realized my parents lived through a really interesting time in our nation's history. That's the story that should be told first. So I talked to my mother about it, and she was okay. Unfortunately, my father passed away in 2017, so he never knew that this was ever in the works. So it took me over a year to do the research and bounce the stories back and forth between my mother and I to make sure that I had them correct. And
is your mother still around?
Yes, she's still alive.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said earlier, when I was reading through it, I was under the impression that they both passed away, but I'm sorry for saying that. That's great that your mom's still around.
I'm thrilled.
And you also, you know, a living record, of course. You can go to her and see, did this happen? Then you can ask her, like, 2 months later just to double check. You sure that happened?
Yeah.
I do love the fact that the book takes place throughout, like, I guess the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And as I said before, you come from a family of 8 children, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And so there's, with 8 children, there are a lot of opinions, right? I mean, we're talking a family of 10, really. And there had to have, how did your family feel about this book? Were they encouraging it? Were they nervous about it? Were they, did they have their own personal input?
No, my mother and I kept it to ourselves until right before it was being published. And then I was afraid that people were going to say something about it.
You know your brothers and sisters well, I think.
Yeah. So they didn't know about it until days before the published copy came out. And all of them have read it. They all really enjoyed it.
And so it's been positive. Like they're reading and they're like, oh, this guy snuck attack us with this book about our family, and they're happy with it.
They're happy with it. You know, part of the thing that I did not want to do was tell somebody else's story. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really go into a lot of details about any of my siblings and what their thoughts or life might have been outside of those things that either I was impacted by or mom and dad were impacted by. So yeah, I did not want to tell their story, and I don't think I did.
No, everything seems to be from your viewpoint. It's kind of, at least from everything I've read was, like, for instance, in chapter 10, you talk about how busy your father was, providing for your family, and he would work a number of jobs. The guy, when I'm looking at, the guy was just constantly working, and, but he would take a few hunting trips. And you also state that as a child, you didn't really realize the sacrifice that he was giving. I just thought it was a very honest view, and an honest memory, because sometimes I think we forget the sacrifices. You know, it's easy to kind of forget, oh, you spent 7 days working for 20 years, and it's like, eh, that's nothing. And for you to actually throw it out there and I guess really kind of create a thank you in a lot of ways, and to appreciate the sacrifices that he made. I really thought that was really nice the way you put that together.
Yeah, thank you. It was, that wasn't his biggest surprise, because later in years, Dad and I did have those conversations, and I told him, you know, I didn't appreciate what you were doing at the time, but I certainly have learned to appreciate it as an adult. Mm. And I think I mentioned a couple times in the book, at a certain point, you could no longer tell mom and dad's story without talking about their children, because that was their life, their entire life.
That's how it works, especially when you mix in eight of them.
Yes.
So one of the things that really kind of stands out, I brought it up before, is you have a couple photographs in here of a converted hearse. Can you tell the story about that? I just think, looking at that, I'm like, oh man, that is the coolest thing, and creepy, and a little twisted, because it has these aquatic figures on the side. So yeah, if you could talk about the converted hearse, it looked like an early 60s or late 50s hearse.
Yeah. So it was kind of crazy, and we all thought it was fun. So our family was large enough, and the kids were getting old enough now that we could not all fit into one vehicle.
Yeah, no minivans back then.
Right. That was a catalyst to getting something larger. And Dad found that. And when he found it, the back had already been cut off, and it had been finished out to be more like a pickup truck. So he built the cabin, or the cabinet that was on the back, and painted it pink, as if the hearse wasn't enough. He wanted to draw more attention. So it was Pepto-Bismol pink. and then, because he's a hunter, he wanted to put silhouettes of things that he hunted. A bear, there was a fish on there. There was a bear.
I have to find the photograph. I'm sorry, I'm flipping through here.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, looking at it, I was like, what the heck? Was your dad the kind of guy who was like a little wacky like that? I mean, because that's a really out there thing to do. I mean, it's completely practical. There's nothing wrong with doing it. It's just, I can really respect that type of, like, I got to do what I got to do. It's page 95. There's birds, there's men with guns.
Yeah.
Fish
of some sort. It's a woman on the back that's running, and he said that's the deer. And I thought, okay, all right. So yeah, he did have a sense of humor about a lot of things, and that's an illustration of it.
Oh, it's a Cadillac. Yeah, there you go. That thing must have been really crazy. Whatever, you don't know what happened to that, do you?
Yeah, our time in Anoka was difficult. There was the incident with my brother drowning, and then the following spring we were flooded out of it, and then right behind the flooding there was a historic storm that took place in Minnesota that still maintains some of the records. Mm-hmm. And it was destroyed during that storm.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, and you do bring up your brother drowning, and you know this is one of the things that your parents had to get through together. You know, the tragedy of something like that happening, of course, especially in such a close-knit family. When you speak to your parents, when you speak to your mom about that now, is she comfortable talking about that?
She is. She, you know, her and I talked about it a couple of times over the years, and the times that we talked about it were outside the time period this book covers. So I didn't put those conversations in there.
Sure.
But in time, yeah, she was able to get past it. She never could satisfactorily answer to my questions about it. And then I had to do some introspection and really look at it, you know, dissect the whole incident and come up with a different answer to really move past it and not place blame anywhere.
Yeah. But you know, it's a really complete story. And, are there any stories where you feel as though you kind of wish you put it in there, or maybe, a lot of times I'll speak to an author and they'll say, you know, there's just something I couldn't find the right place for, or they weren't comfortable with it, but maybe they became comfortable with it afterward. Was there anything like that happened?
Yeah, I address that in kind of a different way. So if you, in the back of the book, after the story ends, so after chapter 10, there's a large appendices in the back of the book. And a lot of those items that I wrote about, like the descriptions of my parents' siblings, that was actually part of the initial story. But I thought, this has no purpose here. I don't talk about them again. Why would I go into that elaborate description of them? Mm-hmm. So I moved it out of the story and put it in the back of the book so that people could still see it that wanted to. But it didn't take away from the story that I was telling.
And it's a really unique thing that you did add in the back. It breaks down your entire family tree, really.
Yeah. Yeah. And part of the reason for that was I'm hoping, you know, one of the takeaways is for people that read the book, they get interested in their own family history. Once you start looking at that, it can be really interesting and oftentimes surprising. Mm. So that's why I put that back there so that people would know the information is out there. I didn't go on to any pay for sites. It was all information that was freely available on the internet.
I was going to ask you about that. I didn't know how you had done the genealogy aspect of this, but you're saying you were able to find it without subscribing to a service.
Correct. Hmm. Yeah. But my dad had already done a lot of the work, so I have all of his documentation as well.
Yeah. I mean, stuff like that. There's nothing beats having some of that data collected before the internet put a lockdown on everything.
Yes, true.
You know, for instance, if I were to do any type of family tree from scratch, I would hit a lot of roadblocks without a pay site. But it is great that you were able to. You probably also have things that maybe don't exist elsewhere, information wise.
I do. I mean, I have a lot of handwritten notes and stories from other family members. My aunt Helen handwrote a document that she gave to mom and dad on their 60th wedding anniversary, describing the day that dad was born.
Mm-hmm. It's incredible.
I was able to use that in the story as well. I did not know that previously.
Mm. So what were your thoughts about the TV show, like Little House on the Prairie, and also the books while growing up? They must have been on your radar on some level, being that you're sharing
they
the
were.
Name.
Yeah. No, and I read the books when I was in school, so it's been a number of years. I did not reread them prior to writing this book because I didn't want it to influence my writing. Mm-hmm. I wanted to write my voice, not a copy of somebody else's. And then the Little House on the Prairie series, I watched it when it came out, and yeah, and it was very interesting. It was a show that quickly was liked by a great number of people. It ran for 9 years. Great.
It was like nearly a decade on television, and of course, it became like that, you know, American staple. Even now, of course, we still have listeners. You know, still people are discovering the show in other countries. In France, it's doing very, very well. But so with your connection to the Ingalls in real life, do you think you were more invested in the show or even the books when you were little?
I think we had a different connection than most people did.
I would imagine so.
Yeah. I mean, it's very, very random. You'll all of a sudden go somewhere and somebody will recognize your name, make the association, and then start asking you about it. Once they realize, first of all, it's a real family, mm-hmm. And you're part of it, then there's a whole slew of questions that they have for you. So it's been very interesting throughout my entire life to have that come up.
Have you had the opportunity to visit like the Laura Ingalls Wilder museums and different locations like that?
Yeah, I have. Not all of them.
Do you drop your name immediately?
Yeah.
He's like, excuse me, can I use the bathroom? It's like, no, it's only for... It's like, well, just take a look at my driver's license.
Yeah. Yeah, no, when we show up, they're absolutely thrilled that we're there. So,
yeah, I mean, they're wonderful people. The organizations that run these, I've spoken to a number of them. They're wonderful, wonderful people. They're completely dedicated. Yeah. And I cannot imagine them... They would just... Yeah, if you... it would just really surprise me if you had not visited. And they must love that. They must be just love it when you guys visit.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. And we appreciate what they're doing as well. So.
Yeah. And, it's, I agree. It's what they're doing is wonderful. Keeping, that legacy alive, but you are also by creating this book and documenting your parents' story, and really kind of telling, doing the Little House in the Prairie type of story, but, updating it to the mid, 20th century. I don't know. There's that connection. And, I think that you've definitely succeeded, in the book. It's a very well received book. It's available on Amazon. And now that you've written, do you have another project in front of you? Because you said that this book originally started out as your story. Do you still think you have that in you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm working on that book. And then I have a couple other books that I have in the back of my mind. Once I finish this second one, I'll start looking at them more closely and see what I have. Mm-hmm. On the other side of my family, my mother's maiden name is Patnode. And her father wrote... like a 20-page overview of his entire life, which is just fascinating. Mm. So that's one of the other books that I'm considering.
Now, outside of your direct family, of course, there are other Ingalls that I'm sure have they gotten back to you as to how they feel about the book?
Yeah, I mean, everybody really has liked the book. There's, one family that isn't as happy with it as, they could have been. And I'm guessing you probably know which family that is.
Yeah.
It's a sad event that took place. There was no way I could not tell that event. It was a huge one in Mom and Dad's life.
Mm-hmm.
In the next book that I write, it will cover the time period where I had the conversations with Mom and really came to terms with that whole circumstance. And I think people would be surprised at the end what it turned out to be.
Right. Well, Lee, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to come on and talk about your book. Ingalls on the Prairie, the Gene and Fern Ingalls story, can be found on Amazon. I'll put a link to it in the show notes. You're more than welcome to come back anytime you want to promote or talk about any of this stuff. But I applaud the effort and just getting it done. And now you have it on your shelf. And I think it's something to truly be proud of. You're carrying on that legacy, the Ingalls, writing gene.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me on your show today. It truly has been my pleasure.